B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cardona will snap it back. Bailey turns to Cardona. The snap in place. Swing of the right leg. Kick driven to the uprights. The kick is good.
Got it.
Boom. Does it again. His second game winner of the season. And the Patriots prevail at the buzzer over Arizona by a 20-17 final.
You have life. Boy, do you have life.
And that's how it ended yesterday here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. We continue with your thoughts on everything as promised on a reentry Monday. George and Peabody, go ahead.
Yes, does Bill Belichick go the combine to watch these guys?
Sometimes you wonder, George.
Because what school would hurt the Patriots when they traded for Sanu, that second round draft pick, come back to bite them?
Okay, so that's not a draft, George. I'll let you go. That was a trade, and Brady wanted Sanu. So that's partly Brady's fault. On these college guys, I just don't know. All those good receivers, Murray, I mean, you've been over that list forever. The number of good receivers taken after N'Keal Harry. And Bill looks at N'Keal Harry and says, that's the guy?
It makes absolutely no sense. When you see how some of these guys are balling out too, A.J. Brown with Tennessee, obviously D.K. Metcalf, who only an idiot would take D.K. Metcalf. Thank you very much, Mike Lombardi. Like Paris Campbell, Debo Samuel. Like there's so much more talented players at that position outside of N'Keal Harry, and you see him, that plodding doofus. And I'm sure he's a nice kid, but like kid can't play. What did you see? Because you could coach him up. He was nice. There was more coachability there. I just don't understand it and why the greatest coach in the history of the game has such a blind spot at players that position. He can't pick them.
With the number of receivers that came out of that draft, it was impossible, almost impossible
right.
to not hit.
He
really
picked the one
was.
Guy that couldn't play.
He picked the one. And he took him in the first round.
He hit the reverse lottery is what he did.
Oh, my God. Jim in New Jersey. Thoughts on the Celtics. Hi,
yeah.
Jim.
Guys, nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call. I agree with you guys. This Gordon Hayward thing gets worse and worse each day. Now it's a couple of second-rounders that the Celtics are going to give to the Hornets. It's the ownership group that doesn't want to spend the money. That's what basically we're coming down to. We can blame Danny all we want, but the ownership group doesn't want to spend the money necessary to get a championship. And unless you got a center, a Davis, or a Greek freak, or an Embiid, maybe, or a Bam, you're not going to win anything.
So here's a couple of things, Jim. Don't worry about the effing second-round picks. Who cares? They didn't give up any first-rounders, so I think they did well to get that big, you know, chunk of exception back, when you call it salary or whatever. They did well to not have to give up first-round picks just to get that exception. Don't worry about the second-rounders. Who cares? And I think they would be willing. What I think is becoming clear, Maz, that they don't love spending that massive money when they don't think they have the team. So, you know, in a couple of these past years, I think that's hurt them. You know, they've had a chance to really improve the team and a chance where they were in an East Finals or, you know, had a real chance to go to the NBA Finals and they come up short because they do nothing at the trade deadline. And I think they're saying to themselves, well, it's not our time. We're not going to win a championship. So why overspend in this kind of year? I think it's hurt them. If they had the team, if they had the Lakers, the current Lakers roster, I'm fully confident they would max out every exception, every loophole that they'd spend their faces off if they were in the middle of their run. They just don't think they're in the middle of their run yet.
Well, so look, I think it feels that way. It does feel that way, that they have looked at it and said, you know what, we're just not there yet, so we're not going to, we're not going to push it over the top until we get to that stage. And I don't think they'd have beaten the Lakers last year anyway, and I don't think they were going to win the year before that. But we're starting to get into that area now, and they have a window with Tatum because he has signed, so they have some room here. But in the next couple of years, they got to put some pieces in there that pretty much bring them right to the top of the league, or they're going to run the risk of Jason Tatum saying, you know what, it's not going to happen here. I'm one of those guys that's on the market now. Trade me.
100%. Not our time, not our time, not our time. And then you get to the end of it, you never really had your time. And so I think that's a big factor as well. I also say, you know, they have this big exception. Go after Giannis. Great. We am all for the talk. Are they going to pay him? I mean, because that's going to be $40 million a year. And Tatum's, you know, $30 million a year. And Brown's just under that. And he'll be up soon. And they love Marcus Smart to death. I mean, I think it's a fair question for down the road. So we can dream about using that exception on a big-name player. But are they going to add $40 million in payroll to that team and really pay those taxes year in, year out? You know, and I just said they would if they had the group. But let's actually see it. Paul's in Rhode Island on Cam Newton. Go, Paul.
Thank you for taking my call. Can I just say something that about money? Okay, money. This guy is here for $1 million. You selfish Patriot fans, what do you expect? This guy does not have to be the main event every week. He doesn't make the calls. The other thing is, there's an extra team going into the playoffs. Besides, whatever record you have, all the 6-3 teams are dropping right now, or some. Okay.
Well, so, Paul, let me just stop you. The path is harder than you think. Okay, and I bailed on the path last week, so I'm not even allowed to go back there. The first thing, Cam Newton only makes $1 million, so what do you expect, Maz? Lay off him. How do you feel about that commentary?
Okay, so look, again, in a lot of ways, I don't blame Newton. I'm just telling you, he is what he is. I blame the Patriots for putting themselves in this situation, but that's a different discussion. So honestly, it's got nothing to do with the money or anything else. The fact is, he's been in the league 10 years, and I think he's getting worse as part of this operation. So the Patriots now have to play this pin the tail on the donkey game with the quarterback position, which, as we've said a million times, is the most important position in professional sports. So don't blame Newton. Newton's given you everything he's got. I have no doubt about that. That's part of what concerns me about Newton, is I don't think that there's a lot more to give there, and I think he's basically done. The ultimate blame here goes to the Patriots.
I don't think it's a lot to ask for just a baseline level of quarterback play from the guy playing that position who was a former MVP and been in the league 10 years. Can you complete a pass to the flat? Can you read a defense? Can you read a rush, a pass rusher, when he's coming from your right side? Like, that's all.
Paul, he's the quarterback. I don't care what he makes. It's the most important position on the field. He's got to execute. He's got to know what he's doing. He's got to be decisive, know where to go with the ball, put his players in, you know, in the right positions before the snap, all those things. I don't care if he makes $1 million or $100 million. He's got to be able to do that. And this guy doesn't feel to me like he can do it. So, sorry, we're not going to go easy on him because the Pats got him on a cheap contract. On your path? I mean, I know, Murray, I know I'm not allowed to do it, but I just, you know, I did have a little bit of time.
Do it.
Simulcast, if you just want to throw up my scientific, you know, work here on
this thing.
Do it.
Let me tell you what the key is to the path, okay? And I'm still on a 9-7 path. 10-6, they're in. 10-6, you don't need to jump through too many hoops. At 9-7, here's what I need, and you're seeing it now on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. And I know a lot of these teams play each other. So I'm not, you know, I'm not doing this thing where, you know, Vegas plays Miami in week 16. I'm not giving Vegas a loss and Miami a loss. I'm not screwing around like that. This is a work up here with some integrity. If you really play it out and all the games that should be won are not won, to me, I think Miami and Vegas are catchable because of their schedules. Miami's got a really tough schedule down the stretch. Miami has, you know, like everybody else, 5 games left. And their last 4, Kansas City, New England, at Vegas, at Buffalo. Okay? We only need Miami to go 2-3 to finish 9-7. So Miami's got 3 losses left on that schedule. Okay? Vegas, I'd say the same thing. Vegas has got Indy. Vegas has got Miami. And again, I can only pick a winner in one of those games. But Vegas is only 6-5. You're only a game behind. So Vegas can go 3-2. And finish at 9-7. So I only need 2 losses on Vegas' schedule. I can find that. Okay? I think Indy and Baltimore ultimately are going to emerge. They're still good teams, and they have easy schedules. It feels to me, working this up, that the key is Cleveland. Cleveland's got to go in the tank for you to get in at 9-7. Cleveland is 8-3, Maz, of course. There are 5 games left. Here's what they got. Titans, Ravens, Giants, Jets, Pittsburgh. I easily got them losing to the Titans, Ravens, and Pittsburgh. No problem. Can the Jets or the Giants beat them? Okay, so forget the Jets.
Jets get no shot. Yeah, forget the Jets.
All right, so this is why when you saw this, when Vinny put it up, I had that Giants game, that Pittsburgh, that Cleveland Giants game circled and starred. And I feel like that's a big game for the 9-7 path, Murray. I know I'm not allowed to do it. I'm sorry, but I did it.
No, that's okay. Anyone that wants to do it, go nuts. You know, this is the time of year where you're thinking about, you know, nice things, the holidays. It's it's all about believing and magic and great things, you know. So go nuts. I'm not going to stop you.
I got news for you. Yeah, in 2020, I don't believe in anything.
It's not realistic. Because here's the thing that I will acknowledge now. And it is a big problem with my path and all my math. The Patriots suck. They suck. They're not good. Like they have to go 9-7 to make all this work. And I have no faith that they can do that either. But anyway, back to the phones. Here's our buddy Albert in Rhode Island on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Al.
How's it going, guys? Murray, so I think you're officially worse than... No, no one's worse than Tony Romo. He completely embarrassed himself yesterday. How he covered that.
Oh, my God. Hold on one second. I think they needed to bring out the jaws of life to detach Tony Romo's lips from Tom Brady's ass. That was embarrassing yesterday.
It's as if he got copy points from Brady before the game. It was brutal.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, Albert. Go ahead.
Perfect. I mean, let me show you, guys. This is a cover two high safeties. Yeah, Tony, because we've never seen a quarterback with a bad running game that had to throw into two safeties before. We've never seen that before, but that's his agenda. But, Murray, so basically what you said 20 minutes ago was you spoke my theory. If it's not short, if it's not schemed, if he's not getting the ball up quickly, his coaches, Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians, are bobos because they have a vertical passing game. Just so you know, Carson Palmer, Peyton Manning, and Ben Roethlisberger all made Pro Bowls in this same offense. But because Tommy Boy can't throw the ball deep unless he's throwing it to Randy Moss, who isn't human and doesn't count, he's not very good. So what is it, Murray?
No, he's never been good with the deep ball. I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
How is he the greatest of all time? How can he be the greatest of all time then? It doesn't make sense to have a limitation that
I disagree.
Be the goal.
I disagree, Albert. I think throwing the ball deep as a quarterback is on the list of qualities I want out of my quarterback is dead last. Dead last. If you've got a big hose and can, you know, get it down the field 40 yards, great. Mazel tov, good job. Nice. Okay? I'll give you about 6 to 8 qualities I'd rather have before that. So if that's Tom Brady's weak point, he's my kind of guy. Sorry.
Yeah, clutchness, precision passing outside of deep balls. Like, there's nobody better. You know, yeah, there's nobody you would want. Well, I don't know at this point in his career, but, you know, in his prime or the last decade, you know, when the chips are on the table, you're down 6, you need to, you know, the game-winning touchdown. He's the guy. He's always been the guy. But deep balls, no, he sucks.
I mean, I'm not looking for highlights. I don't know what Alex Albert in Rhode Island's looking for. I'm not looking for highlights. I'm looking for touchdowns, completions, efficiency. I'm looking for all that stuff. The fact that they continue to just and here's the other thing. They don't have the line to do it because you got to give these guys a little time to get down the field. This is why Bruce Arians' quarterback always gets killed. This is why, because he keeps dropping back and chucking the ball down the field, and it's impossible for any line to hold up the rush for that long. It's impossible.
But again, I give Brady no break on this. He wanted it. He wanted to prove to everyone he could throw the ball down the field. This was a big part of his decision-making, and a lot of stuff you hear coming out of the Brady cartel and the Brady camp is that he wanted, when he has had some good weeks in Tampa, it's like, oh, I guess he can throw the ball downfield. And that's something that Brady wanted to prove to people. So he chose that. He chose that whole situation. So I got no sympathy for him on that one. Back to your phones on a Reentry Monday right after this.
Duggar has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Cam drops the right foot back.
No.
Sends James White in motion in the backfield. Takes the toss. James sweeping to the left. He's going to win the race with a dive to the pylon. James White has his second touchdown of the day.
Great nose for the
goal. And the Patriots
line.
Have the lead.
It's a way to get outside. Yeah, nothing's cooking up inside. You gave it an effort. Tried it twice. So if that's not working, a little good deception by Cam, too, putting the foot way back there. So you're trying to give that indicator of a quarterback sneak. And James just gets inside that left pylon.
So it was that second James White touchdown, second half. Another good call, I thought, by Josh McDaniels. And just good job of deception there that Zoe pointed out. And they were also big on the Fox broadcast with Newton really in that stance at looking like he was going to sneak it with that right leg back. And the color guy even at one point says when he's got his leg back like that, there's only one way for him to go. Only one way. And that's he's going forward. That's a quarterback sneak. And the Patriots duped Arizona in there to probably believing it was. And then that pitch to White and the race to the pylon, I thought that was another nice call. I thought McDaniels, the first touchdown to White, that option pitch by Newton was a really nice call. I thought that was a really nice call. So McDaniels helped him out in this game yesterday as well. Back to your phone. So Ivan in New Hampshire on the Pats. Hi, Ivan.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just wanted to start off by saying I really think Cam Newton as a person is a very nice guy and all that good stuff. But as far as anything else, this guy's got molasses running through his veins. I mean, did you ever notice every play, calls, everything? I mean, it's just so dragged out. And then when we got to the end of the game yesterday, just for the spike before the field goal, I didn't think he was going to get the playoff in time. You know, so
well, Ivan, let me stop you. The thing at the end, I think, was intentional. They wanted to leave no time on the clock for Arizona. And I'm not even talking about the spike. The spike was so the kick was the last play, so he wasn't being slow there. And the slowness early in that drive was to make sure that Arizona didn't have a shot at a long field goal if they got the ball back. So all that was intentional. The rest of it, though, Newton's pace, I don't think he there's nothing he does that's quick, man. Nothing.
No, and again, so to me, it's just a bad fit because Bill wants to do everything quickly. He wants the processing to take place on a really rapid level. And so let's go back to that question that Cam Newton asked in the roundtable he did with Odell Beckham. How are me and Belichick going to mesh? Not well. Like, and again, this is on the field. Forget the off the field. Off the field, I think it's meshed wonderfully.
Yeah.
But the on the field stuff, has been just brutal. They are... Mike, the play calls that you're talking about with McDaniels, they are so limited in terms of what they can call to be able to get yards when they need them. So in a lot of ways, that makes McDaniels' job even harder. And there just aren't that many guys you can go to in the big spot. They just have so many limitations with Newton at quarterback.
So, you know, when they brought him in, I was happy for them to change their offense to fit him. Like, that's fine. But I thought they were going to be changing their offense to fit him in this sort of dynamic, more, you know, college offense, but meaning like he's running, he's passing, he's a dual threat quarterback. There's big plays, you know, that sort of thing. Like, that's what I thought they were doing. I didn't think they were going back to the Doug Flutie, Tim Tebow days. That's how they've changed their offense. They've brought it back to a super conservative high school offense, which I would not have been in favor of. And how can they be in favor of it? Like, how do you survive in the NFL playing that way? It's impossible.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I thought the offense would feature more of Cam running, more design runs, and they got away from that for a long period of time. They go back to it at moments when they need it, but I think they knew after week one they couldn't run him 15 times, he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, well, and that, I think yesterday they did it a little bit more, and it helped him, but I think the caller put it right the way he started off his call. Cam Newton seems like a nice guy, but... You know, whenever you start off a sentence like that, you know nothing good is coming.
Exactly, yeah.
Steven in Boston. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, guys. Earlier last week, I asked if Bill painted himself into a corner by having his kids, particularly Steve, in charge of the defense. I felt it was public knowledge that people understood that Steve was making the defensive calls going back to last season. However, what a bad optic, what a bad soundbite by Bill by mentioning Steve yesterday. And the point is that it's not going to play well with the rest of the coaches. It's not going to play well with the team. But that's what happens when you hire your kids He got defensive because Steve caught some fire from the week before.
Okay, well, it's not just that, Steve. And I think Maz pointed this out, that Gerard Mayo is starting to get consideration around the league. Or there's a, you know, word that Houston might be looking at Gerard Mayo. And this is the co-defensive coordinator, someone who's on par with Steven Belichick, apparently. And so Bedard tweeted this out, and others have reported that Mayo's starting to get some buzz. So between the criticism the defensive coaches got last week and Gerard Mayo getting now pub around the league, does Bill think to himself, well, what about Stevie? I need to get Stevie part of his, because this is what he said yesterday. Maz played the cut earlier. We'll reset it. The question's about them setting the edge on defense and limiting the Arizona perimeter runs. They were a problem early in the game, but they were better late. And, you know, what's your answer to that, Bill?
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, that's you identified a definite problem that came up early in the game. And, you know, Cliff does a real good job of that. He does a good job of creating conflicts for the defense and putting the defense in tough spots. And he did that. You know, they got the ball outside and they hurt us with some outside runs, a variety of them. And so we just, you know, it was a challenge the whole game, but, you know, we played them a little better as the game went on. Steve made a couple of good calls that you know, put us in the right defense against a couple of those as well. So that was good too.
Never mind him thanking Alan Siegel for the question, which is just
and something like that never happens.
Oh my God, that just reeks of something. But not like Siegel's a plant, but like, geez, like, you knew Bill was waiting just for a chance to mention Stevie, right, Maz?
Oh, totally. I think that's what it was. And that's exactly how I viewed it as, you know, when we were talking about it earlier. I do. I think the question was a plant. I'm not dumping on Alan. Believe me, I've been there where people have asked me to ask questions in press conferences, and sometimes I asked them and sometimes I didn't. But the headline in that Houston Chronicle story, New England's Gerard Mayo, a rising star in NFL. Now, this is a Houston organization that obviously fired Bill O'Brien's looking for a head coach, and Jack Easterby is running the organization, the infamous Jack Easterby, who I presume knows Mayo, knows what he's all about. So the point is that Mayo's starting to get all this love about what he's doing with the Patriots defense, and meanwhile, Steve Belichick isn't getting any, and so Bill's got to sit there and say, what? Hey, guys, make sure you give Stevie some love. You know, Stevie did a good job. You know, like, did you see Stevie out there playing? Like, it's like a little league coach putting his son into pitch.
Yeah, there's something behind it. I mean, it's either to build up buzz for his kid and, you know, stop these rumors of Gerard Mayo being connected to Houston. Maybe it's even to stop rumors of Matt Patricia coming back to the Patriots, too, because he was fired over the weekend.
But Bill didn't need to do that to tell that fat slob to keep, you know, no, we're not interested. You know, this guy, I mean, of all the Belichick failures, he is near the top of the list, Matt Patricia. But either way, I don't know if they need to do that to keep him. They just don't have to pick up the phone. But if Bill feels Stevie is falling behind in terms of, you know, the coaching rumor mill or the coaching credit circle or what, you know, however you want to phrase that, if he just feels Stevie's not getting his due, well, then he's going to pump his tires in the postgame press conference, Maz. It's not a good look.
No, it isn't. And so, and honestly, Steven Belichick might be a good coach. In fact, given who his father was and the knowledge that he's probably been able to absorb over the years, I don't doubt that he's got a chance to be a very good coach. I just think the idea of him working here is a negative. And if I'm anyone else around the league, I'm looking at it going, well, how do you know? And in fact, I would say this of any Belichick assistant at this stage, but it's worse. It's worse with his son because of the blood connection. Really, if you were going to hire any coach at this stage, would you take someone from the Belichick tree? How many of those guys have failed? And so let alone his kid. So I just think that Steven would be way better served to be coaching somewhere else under another coach and then consulting his father behind the scenes. That would be way better to do.
All right, your thoughts on that? And also we want to get to, the NFL and football has changed and it'll never change back. A couple examples of that coming up right after Big Jim Murray's update. Want to reiterate that today is a reentry Monday. It's brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Maz will tell you more about that later, but now Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Say it.
Well, I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Snap to Lee, pressure-free punt. He sends a wobbler to the near side short. Olszewski fields on the run to the 20, 25, 30. 35, cuts across the 40. A sprint to midfield, down the middle. One man to beat to the 35, 30. Angling left to the 25. Gets a big block to free him for a touchdown.
What a block.
Patriots. And with two flags come down. On the block at the 20-yard line.
Oh, no, that's not on Hall. This is one hell of a block by
Anthony
Jennings
downfield for the Patriots. The rookie linebacker. Delivering a big block to spring Olszewski.
Personal foul. Blindside block.
Oh, no!
Intercepting team number 58. 15-yard penalty for his fault on the foul. Doing the ball. First down.
So they're going to call it on Jennings.
The guy's chasing him. He turns and looks. It's not a blindside block. It's not even close.
Wow.
Hosed.
Well, we all saw that, the Anthony Jennings block on the Gunnar Olszewski punt return for a touchdown, of all things. Maz, what was your reaction to that? You think that was the right call?
Well, so look, initially I thought, well, that's not a, you know, that's not a crackback per se. But then when I saw some of the definitions and interpretations of the rule online, I thought they called it right. And the bottom line for me is you can't hit anybody in the NFL anymore. I mean, not really. You can tackle guys, but nobody gets lit up anymore, at least not without a flag.
If it looks or sounds too violent, the flag's coming up.
Exactly.
And that is a hit they are trying to get out of the game, and they have for years. And I guess you could debate whether it meets the definition, you know, to a T. I thought that it was you can't block anyone if you're facing your own end zone or your sideline. Okay. But, you know, be that as it may, that's the exact thing. The block from behind the play from a guy who's defenseless or unsuccepting, the crack back, peel back, that sort of thing, especially if you light him up, you're going to get flagged. If he had just sort of stood there, I saw it was a Dean Blandino who was talking about it, you know, and had, like, kind of shielded him or just sort of screened him without lighting him up. You might have gotten away with it. You probably would have gotten away with it. But they don't want you lighting up players that aren't looking for it. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. And if they have to draw up a rule after the fact to make it fit what they saw there on the field, they don't want you lighting up players that aren't ready for it. So that flag's coming out every time. And I think you benefited from a similar sort of rationale on the Cam Newton play, which is I think he was hit in bounds, and I think he was hit cleanly. But the league doesn't want you hitting quarterbacks like that. They don't want you hitting quarterbacks like that, whether they're in the pocket or out of the pocket. So 99 times out of 100, if a quarterback gets hit the way Newton got hit at the end of that ball game, the flag's coming out. I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, I hated both calls, but because it's taking, you know, football plays out of football, but that's the world we live in now, and the game continues to change and soften. But I couldn't stand either of those calls. They look clean to me. And on the Cam Newton one, for all the people whining about it, like, see, it was helmet to helmet. Look at it from this angle. Regardless, you'd be crying about it if that happened to Kyler Murray and they got that call. It was, he gives himself up as a runner. He was still in bounds. It looked clean. It was clean. But the flag came out, you benefited from it, and you ended up winning the game.
Yeah, there are no big hits allowed anymore. And Mike, my only question on the crackback play is this, because I've heard the same sort of thing, that effectively Jennings, the right play for Anthony Jennings there, is to basically set a pick. Just stand there and make the guy go around you or put your arms up, but you can't, you know, absolutely slam into him. So my question is, well, what if Jennings then gets steamrolled and he gets injured? Like, so the, and I'm with you on they're going to change the wording of the rule, because what they're going to say is if a player is turned your way, you can't level him any more than he can level you. And so, but in theory, Jennings could get blown up there and get hurt And the only, you know, and but he can't do the same thing the other way, so he's got to take the shot. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I just think you may not like it, but no one should be surprised. I mean, that's been the trend for a while. They instituted those crackback block and all those sort of fouls a few years ago. And so was it the right call or the wrong call? I don't know. You could think about it whatever you want. It's just a call that's going to be made every time. That's all. Rich in the car. Ooh, Rich, I hit the wrong button. I hit the drop button and not the pick you up button. So I'm sorry. Call us back. You know the number. That was my fault. I'll put you right on if you get back. Tom and Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I wanted to talk about Brady real quick, if I could. Watching him yesterday, it seems like he's like he could be like the poster child of the grass isn't always greener situation, because the fact that he made the decision to go down to Tampa and just seeing that whole thing going on down there, I think he totally underestimated Arian's ability to be clueless. The fact that they were playing from behind that fast because he decided to try to single cover Tyreek Hill is like the dumbest decision ever until I saw the Chargers game. But then it was the fact is, like, does Arians think that he has Deion Sanders in the secondary? Because honestly, there hasn't been a corner that could cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one since Deion Sanders. And well, that play, it does not exist anymore.
Yeah, Tom, you know what I think? I think that Arians doesn't do the defense. He's one of these head coaches that's Todd Bowles. Talk to him. And which is just, you know, insane, right? That's what the league has become, that there's just so many head coaches. And Arians has been in the game forever. He's been in the game forever. Yet he just, nope, that's Todd Bowles' defense. That's what he's going to do, and you have to ask him about that. Like, that's how I think it's done there, where, like, I mean, shouldn't he be able to offer insight into that side of the ball? And saying, well, if I had Tyreek Hill, this is what I would do to me. So this is how I'm going to cover him. Like, that's how Bill approaches the thing. I think Bill's a good coach on both sides of the ball. But I just don't think it exists. To me, you know, Todd Bowles is calling that defense. But that's on Bruce Arians. That's on the head coach.
Oh, no question. And look, the other thing, Mike, because the offense-defense thing is real for a lot of coaches. Andy Reid's the same way. But the other thing is, I sense with Arians that there's this whole macho element to how we play. You know, no risk it, no biscuit. We're chucking it down the field, and we're going to cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one. So the whole mentality, and excuse me, the whole mentality to me strikes me as very primitive, and it's not very complex.
Okay, while Maz gets the caca out of his throat, we're going to take a quick break and come back with your phones in our long commercial-free segment. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third down and 13 for Newton with wide up in front of him to his left. Bird split left to receivers right. And a fake to White. Newton runs it left, gallop into the far sideline, and he angles out of bounds close to the first down marker, then takes a hard hit to draw a flag. Isaiah Simmons, the rookie for the Cardinals, hitting Newton in front of the Patriot bench after Newton, off the read, kept it himself.
Was he out of bounds?
Seemingly got to the first down marker, across the 45 to the 46. And this may very well be the second personal foul on Simmons today.
Bad call. He ain't out of bounds. He ain't close to out of bounds. He is not out of bounds when he gets hit.
Still in the field of play.
You're a runner. That is a legal hit. Legal hit. Bad call.
These refs
are bad.
Defense number 48. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
In fact, both feet were in the field of play.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
And it's not a flagrant hit. It's a push.
It's not even close. That's a football play.
That's the second time today.
You want to be a runner outside the pocket? You're going to get croaked on the sideline if you don't get out. This is what Jimmy Garoppolo tried to do, staying in bounds. That's how he blew his knee out. Get out of bounds. So there's Zoe calling it like he sees it. on that Newton play, but he's got to know. That flag's going out every single time. Before we go back to the phones, we have a little bit of breaking news on the Patriots.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it's quick and to the point from Field Yates of ESPN, who just tweeted minutes ago that the Patriots have placed wide receiver Julian Edelman on the NFL's COVID-19 list.
Well, that's annoying. That's annoying for those of us who want to play around with the path and still want these games to mean something. I was sort of thinking that, I mean, the offense is so wretched.
And it was trending towards him playing, I think, this Sunday against the Chargers. He's been off IR.
Well, it's just been so bad, anything would help. I mean, I think Julian Edelman is cashed. I think he's done. I think we're done seeing him as the Julian Edelman that we know and love. But whatever, maybe I'm wrong about that. And I was holding out hope that he comes back and does something, and he still can. This doesn't eliminate him, but it certainly doesn't help matters. And so there's that, Matt. Did you have a thought?
Well, so look, again, I'm not banking on him coming back at all, but they were clearly working toward it. In fact, I've been surprised by the report. So they were clearly angling towards him coming back, which means it's a setback for them.
Okay, so there it is. Edelman placed on COVID-19 list. What does that even mean anymore? I don't keep up with the. Does it mean he has to be out for X amount of time, Murray?
I just know that he would very unlikely be able to play on Sunday at this point.
Okay, says who? I mean, I don't know. Haven't guys tested positive and 3-4 days later they're back out there?
No, that's true. Yeah, maybe the window is even shorter now.
So, I don't know. I'm sure more reporting will be done here as this just broke in the last 10 minutes or so. But Edelman on COVID-19 reserve list. We'll see what comes of that. Meanwhile, back to your phones on everything. Here's Rich in the car. Rich, are you the one that I hung up on?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
What do you got? It's now your turn. You're on the air.
Good. I'm never one to blame the refs, but I think that call yesterday on the punt return was absolutely horrible. And on top of that, too, Josh McDaniels is probably the biggest fraud in the NFL. If he had Brady's offense that he has in Tampa now, it would still be bad. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know about that. I mean,
if anything, I think we should maybe be singing this guy's praises more, considering what they have and the lack of talent, especially at certain positions like wide receiver and how terrible the quarterback has been, like he was on Sunday, that they're winning games, and a lot of it has to be tricked up. But he's, you know, life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. And Josh McDaniels has been making lemonade this season.
And on the punt return, not a horrible call, horrible rule. You hate the rule, you hate the rule. But that flag is coming out. They want those refs throwing that flag in that situation, whether you like it or not. So that doesn't make it a bad call. It makes it a bad rule or bad direction for the league or however you want to phrase that. But the refs, they want him throwing that flag. John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John. What do you got?
Hi. So I called last week and I said that it pissed me off that they lost the Houston Texans game. And it really irritates me that they won this game now. Because if they won last week, they would be 6-5 right now. Brady would be at 7-5. They'd probably go to the Chargers next week. And then they'd be at 7-5 each. And we'd be talking about who needs who more now. But instead, we have Cam Newton, who can't throw a goddamn, I don't even know what to say anymore about him. He just can't do anything. So it's really irritating.
Okay, it is irritating, John. My guess is they miss the playoffs by a game. You know, if I had to bet it, they'll miss by a game. And, oh boy, Denver at home. Denver. You know, with Houston, who's looking better, and maybe, you know, that'll look differently by the time we get to the end of the year. But, you know, Houston, when you got them, to win Houston. Never mind, you know, ball in your hand at the end of the game in Buffalo. Ball in your hand, end of the game against Denver. Ball in your hand, end of the game. You know, all those chances to just pick up one more win. I think they're going to come up short by one game, as there'll be plenty to look back on and say, if you just did this or that, you would have been right in the thing.
Yeah, and I think the Denver game is going to be the big one. I mean, really, you're at home. You get a bad team in here. Like, at least with Houston, you can look at it and say they have one of the maybe the top five quarterbacks in the league, and he's certainly playing at a high level right now. Again, he shredded the Lions on Thanksgiving. But Denver, I mean, there was no excuse for losing that Denver game. Zero.
Jeff and Dudley wants to weigh in on that Belichick comment, pumping up his son. Go ahead, Jeff. What do you got?
Hey, so I was listening earlier, and I heard you guys talking about Belichick's comments about his son Steve in the aftermath of the information about Gerard Mayo being considered for positions around the league. And my first thought was, well, what is he doing instead of trying to, you know, give his son some credit? I think he's probably trying to free kids so that, you know, when May was gone.
Oh, my God. So hold on. But between this guy eating and his horrible phone, he's, I just can't make it. Is there anything more disrespectful than that?
Eating bad phone. That is one way to get hung up on quickly.
So look, man, but I understand his point. I don't know if you were able to pick that up or not.
I wasn't.
Well, so I think his idea is, well, if Mayo ends up getting a job, this allows, and he pumps up Steven, this allows Bill to make him the defensive coordinator. And, you know, so, well, look, I've been telling you he's doing a good job, and here you go. And all I'm telling you is, no matter what it is, it's a horrible look. It is a horrible look. It's hard to look at that and accept it at face value when the guy is his son. And so I just think, honestly, I think it hurts the son as much as it hurts anybody, probably more so, because people are going to look at it and say this is just Bill again being Bill. And given the Bobo network that Bill subscribes to, you can't just dismiss the idea that he's playing politics and, you know, in this case, playing favorites with his son.
Wayne in Grafton, real quick. What do you got, Wayne?
Yeah, I'm just sipping. I'm not chewing on anything. So I got a question for you. I enjoyed watching the highlights of the Tyson-Jones fight because I think there were more hits than that in a football game. And, you know, Cam has to go. But, Maz, you have a new fan. I have my 15-year-old grandson here, and he's a Matty Ice fan, and you disrespected him a few weeks ago, and he wants Matty Ice here instead of Jimmy G. Say hi to Max.
Hey, Max.
I know it's not the Jones show. I mean, I'm his guiding influence in his life, so you know, I'm responsible for him. So I can't say anything nasty now, so peace out, and
peace out,
we'll hope everything goes well.
Okay, good luck with your kid there. Matt Ryan over Cam Newton, I'd take it now.
Me
and
too.
I can't stand Matt Ryan.
Oh, God, in a heartbeat. Please, I'll tell you, at this stage, honestly, I'm getting my hopes up for Matt Stafford because it feels like there's a day of reckoning coming in Detroit, and I think Stafford could be out there. I'd go get Stafford.
There's going to be a guy or two available, so whoever that guy, go get him. Go get that guy. Because this, the thing with Newton ain't working. Another hour to go. All your wonderful phone calls. It's Reentry Monday. We hit on the Gordon Hayward resolution, trade resolution from over the weekend. On the Celtics, you can weigh in on that by all means. Tom Brady down in Tampa. The nonsense of what's going on across the league with COVID. The league making the Broncos play yesterday without a quarterback. That was pretty cool. Okay, we can hit on that if you like. And, of course, the Patriots and where they stand right now and the quarterback situation, which does feel dire. All of it and your calls. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.